Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. As you know, my name is Rick Leaf. I'm a host of Entertaining Ideas and the author of Four Homeless Millionaires. We're at chapter 40 of the audiobook. One man's coffee break is another woman's vagina. Who doesn't want to read this chapter? We arrived in the tiny village of Rothenburg for another wedding. Back in Malaysia, we'd partied with Zara's aunt Jojo at Matthew and Kelly's wedding. Jojo has more energy for adventure than almost anyone I've ever met. We were excited to meet up with her again. Celebrating her daughter's wedding was as good a reason as any, as far as we were concerned. We were staying at the Cherzenmat Hotel, which seemed part hostel, part hotel, possibly run by a taxidermist. I don't know what else could explain the large display case filled with stuffed woodland creatures. Rothenburg is a little hamlet. The hotel shut down at 7 p.m. and the staff went home. There's no one at the front desk. The restaurant was closed and our room key was the only thing that would get us back into the building. Because it was a holiday weekend, pretty much everything else in the little village was shut as well. And God help you if you arrived without a car and wanted supper. And that is exactly what was happening to numerous wedding guests. But eventually, we were reunited with Amanda, who arrived from Italy. Chris and Catherine came from England, and Peter and Christine from Australia. The next morning, we walked into Rothenburg with Amanda to buy some clothes for the wedding and pick up some food. Riel bought some funky goth chick sandals. Admiring herself in the mirror, she said, "I like them. They're my style, with a hint of elegantness." We found a great little Swiss bakery, and I suggested that it would be a great time to have a little fika. "What did you say?" Amanda exclaimed, blushing ever so slightly. "Fika," I replied excitedly, "'cause I love fika. Can't get enough fika, fika, fika. Mmm, yummy and delicious fika." I remember smacking my lips and lolling my tongue dramatically in my profession of undying devotion to fika. Amanda looked around uncomfortably. Yeah, in Italian, fika is a dirty word for, She paused, looking at Zion and Riel, trying to figure out how best to proceed. "A woman's, you know, hoo-ha, her pookie, her secret grotto." She took our stunned silence for lack of comprehension and inexplicably continued. "It's another word for a woman's punani, or jigglypuff, poo bear. You know, her little lady. Come on, guys, a vajayjay. You know, clunge, midge. For God's sake, her fanny." Up to this point, the kids thought Amanda was listing off cartoon characters, but their British roots had familiarized them with the F word. Zion coughed juice out of his nose, and Riel scrunched her face up and said, "Ew, gross." My first thought was that it's no wonder there's been so much war and conflict in human history. For all we know, the Vikings started out as a bunch of adventuresome guys who liked sailing and coffee breaks with sweetbread. Maybe one day they ran into a group of Italians and in the process of inviting them for a coffee break, ended up saying something suggested about a guy's girlfriend. One man's coffee break is another woman's vagina. The next day, a mixer was planned for all the wedding guests. We filed into what seemed like a turret from an ancient stone castle, passing under a number of stuffed witches on brooms hanging from giant wooden beams. We climbed a staircase to the second floor where long tables were set out around the perimeter of the room. The wedding is in Switzerland. The groom's side is German and the bride's is English. I can't help feeling like the mixer is some ambitious geopolitical statement. Guests are encouraged to mingle and get to know each other, but after my performance art piece trying to get a hotel room in Hanover, I know just how flexible a person needs to be to cross the language barrier. I'm listening to the chatter around me when Riel pulls on my sleeve. I look down as she whispers, "I don't want this," pointing to her plate. I almost let out a startled yelp when I see what looks like a gray phallic porno sausage with yellow spit-up sauce on her plate. "Where the frig did you get that?" I ask, slightly nauseous. "Someone gave it to me when I was looking for juice," she said. We managed to pawn it off on one of the other cousins when he wasn't looking. The next day was the wedding. It was a cold, overcast spring day as we filed into the old brick church. There was a guy who kind of played the bagpipes warming up. The combination of the incredibly resonant brick building and the tendency of the piper to hit the odd note, shard, or flap started to make my right eye twitch. To distract myself, I tried to take in the decor. That's when I actually noticed the giant statues of the Mother Mary with swords plunged into her chest. The largest statue that hung on the wall right above us depicted seven swords all plunged deep into her chest. I've said it before, but seriously, you just never know what you're going to see in a European church. On our way back to the hotel the day before, Riel and I were walking along when she noticed a crucifix. She noticed that sometimes the cross has a guy on it, and sometimes it doesn't, and she wanted to know why. I told her it was because we kept popping back and forth from Catholic to Protestant countries. Of course, that led it to the dreaded question, what's the difference between Catholics and Protestants? For the first time in my life, I wish my kids just wanted to talk about where babies come from. We were just starting to get into it as we entered our hotel room, catching Zion and Zara up into our conversation. Well, they both believe in the same God, they use the same Bible, and basically believe about 98% of the same stuff, I said. But the 2% they disagree on has been enough to want to kill each other for 2,000 years, Zara concluded. In an attempt to make this historic enmity comprehensible on a personal scale, I told him that at one point, Zara, with her Catholic upbringing, and me with my Protestant roots, would have made our getting married a scandalous outrage. Without missing a beat, Zion combined an amalgam of medieval folklore and horror genre mythology to sum up his religious conclusion. So basically, you're a lichen and Mama's a vampire. As he buried his head back in the Lego bin, I thought it was one of the most productive conversations about religion our family has ever had. I marked it down in the homeschooling journal as religious studies. At the wedding reception, Riel took off to play with a new little friend, abandoning Zion, who was incredulous he'd been seated at the kids' table. Auntie Amanda to the rescue. Seeing his plight, Amanda waved Zion over to the 20-somethings' table. As the reception plodded on, Zion kept his table thoroughly entertained as he transformed the desserts and decor into a gummy bear massacre. Some gummy bears were strangling, while others were drowning in cups. Some had their heads burned in candles, while forks stabbed others, and a giant spoon crushed one unfortunate little duffer. The longer the reception went on, the worse I started to feel. Knowing I was coming down with something, we enlisted Zara's cousin Sean to ferry us back to the hotel. By the time I got back to the room, I was feeling positively awful. Zara and the kids were already there and were in the process of trying to figure out where some really loud, creepy music was coming from. It sounded like Big Bang band music and was resonating through the hotel. We finally determined that it was coming from the room above us. I slogged my way up the stairs where I realized most of the third floor of the hotel was actually one gigantic suite. I knocked on the door, politely at first. Then, more insistent. Finally, I progressed to full-on bastard knocking. But no one came to the door, no matter how much of a bastard I was. I slunk back to my room in a sick and surly mood and crawled back into bed. I was just about to drift off to sleep when Zara mused aloud that it was actually kind of disturbing. I hope someone's not being killed or assaulted up there. It took a couple of milliseconds for that seed to take root in my imaginative subconscious and bloom into a full-blown psychotic conviction. It was actually so obvious I couldn't believe I'd missed it. The closed doors, the absence of staff, the display case filled with stuffed dead animals. Floor 3 probably had its own grisly display case of international people groups and nationalities. So back up the stairs I went, starting this time in full-on bastard mode and moving quickly into incensed, self-righteous rage. I fell into a syncopated rhythm. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, come on! Boom, boom. This is asinine! It was kind of meditative. After a few repetitive minutes, I sort of zoned out. So I'm not exactly sure how long I pounded. Eventually, I gave up and went to bed. 15 minutes later, the music suddenly stopped. Lying there, in the throes of sickness, steeped in the eerie quiet, our room illuminated by the flickering bluish-silver light from Zara's laptop, I fell asleep, watching the ceiling, waiting for blood to start pooling in the stipple.